Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Some days call for working up a sweat, working on your passion, and endless action. Ditch the glitch with Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Refreshing flavors like strawberry kiwi and blackberry lemonade. Scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Doug. Here we have the Limo Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera! They see us!
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here. You're about to listen to a special podcast with me from on the road at TPC Prestancia down in Sarasota, Florida. I've got one of my young tour players, Steven Stallings Jr., along with Connor Luke, a really good up and young teacher that I'm proud to be associated with. And we're taking questions and giving answers to just recreational golfers that are dying to get better at the game of golf. This episode's coming out in two pieces this week, so make sure you catch both of them. And remember, you can always find this on our YouTube page at Dew Sweeper TV or wherever it is you get your podcast. You can follow and watch along. And get ready. Next week, we've got a big Masters week. You're going to have tour coach and Dew Sweeper content all week to help your game and enjoy the greatest event in golf.
Anyways, my name is Tony Ruggiero. I've met a bunch of you before. Appreciate y'all coming. This is something that we do. We've done it lots of places. Appreciate Connor. I want to, first of all, before we get into that, but I did radio. I had a golf talk radio show for like 18 years on PGA Tour radio while teaching golf, and then it morphed into doing this podcast that one of my tour players came up with an idea for, and we've kind of made it fun. And golf instruction on is changed over the years so much. It used to be you would have to get instruction, you either watch the TV that was on behind us a little bit ago, and you'd watch the Golf Channel, or you would have to go to golf.com or Golf Digest, or, in the, you know, 15 years ago, you would wait for the magazine to come in your mailbox, and that's how you got instruction. And that's changed so much over the years. And through doing the radio and doing some of the stuff I've been fortunate to do, along with golf and Golf Digest and some of those things, you know, I decided that I thought the landscape of instruction was changing. And I thought that with YouTube and some of the things out there, and I'm the furthest person from being into YouTube. I have a 16-year-old that's crazy about it, but I couldn't understand why people liked it. But I realized that the future of instruction and putting and getting your message out and sharing instruction, and our message was by putting your own content out. And so over the last couple of years, we invested a decent bit of money and effort into creating more and more content. And we've grown our YouTube channel to over 35,000 subscribers, which from where we started was good. We have a long way to go, and we've started putting our podcast on there and doing a lot of these on location with just regular golfers, recreational golfers. Because my whole goal is, while I loved, obviously I enjoy teaching tour players, and it's fun and it's challenging. I enjoyed like the 2 hours we spent today was fun. I still teach every day, just regular golfers, people that want to get better. And that's still, that's how I learned. I had a great mentor that shared that with me. And it's still what I enjoy doing most. And he knows this, even though he's a tour player. Like the most fun I have is still just teaching regular folks. And so we share some stories, we share some messages. But tonight, it's really about any questions and answers you have, or we can give you about your game, whether it's you want stuff from tour players, or you want stuff from Connor and I from the instruction side, or you want to hear funny stories, whatever. This is your evening for the next 30, 45 minutes. But first of all, I want to thank Heritage Golf Group. The opportunity to be here has been fantastic for us. And kudos to Connor for all you've done. Everybody says good things about you. The bad ones I'll discuss later. But just kidding. And I've had a blast coming here. This is the first time I've ever, this season that I've ever spent much time on this side of Florida. And I've had a blast. In fact, I've even talked to my wife a little bit, like, maybe we should think about this side of Florida and then you'd be fired, Connor. So, but anyways, it's been fun. So we're looking forward to this little golf discussion tonight. We'll send the club a link. It'll go out next Monday or Tuesday once we edit out the stuff that I say that I'm not supposed to say. So anyways, if anybody has any questions, feel free to just jump in at any time. There's no rules because it's the internet. So, but I wanted to start with things that I thought would be cool is Stephen Stallings was a student of mine for a good while coming out of Kentucky, or at the end at the University of Kentucky. He lives in the area here. We quit working after a little while. He, like a lot of people, fired me. But then, like a lot of people, realized maybe you didn't golf as good, but you at least had a lot of fun. So he hired me back, and we've had a good bit of success lately. He's playing some fantastic golf. He came incredibly close to earning his PGA Tour card through Monday qualifying into PGA Tour events and exemptions about a year and a half, 2 years ago, which is incredibly difficult to do. And came up a hair short, but is a special player. And one of the things I always go to with tour players is they play a lot of pro-ams. They all love them, right? You love them. Yeah. And playing with recreational golfers, I always like to get the point of view of the tour player, like what they see the recreational golfer do, what are the low-hanging fruit that they see that could help you improve? And I want to hear what he says. I know I have an opinion, and I'm sure Connor does as well. But I thought we would talk about, like, what's the low-hanging fruit right off the bat that you see recreational golfers do that could help them shoot lower scores from the pro-ams and the members and the people you've been around?
For the most part, when I see guys that don't play golf every day, I mean, to me, the body just doesn't move correctly, and yet most teachers, and this is why I like Tony so much, most teachers look and they try to fix where your club is, where your hands are, and like, I just think that's the wrong way to do it, because when you're under pressure, the first thing you go is your touch and your hands. You gotta be big muscle oriented. So, so my big thing is if my body's feeling good, it moves good, and I'm gonna hit it well. That's kind of my big thing, and that's why Tony and Connor are so good at it. They're great at identifying how your body's supposed to move, and like where you don't, like, if you're worried about where the club is, you're gonna hit many, many balls and spend hours, and it's not gonna get much better. But if your body's moving right, you can get to the positions easier. And your body subconsciously will figure out how the club operates if your body's moving correctly. So that's kind of like how I feel when I'm in most pro-ams. I'm like, man, that's like, I can't even like teach them, because I'm like, I wish your body moved a little bit better than it did. So.
And before I give it to Connor, because I want to hear what you say, like I would say this, expanding on what you said, that doesn't mean you've got to be a tour player, maybe swinging at 100 and something miles per hour. But I always tell folks, our job is to help coach you and develop you to get better. And so it doesn't matter if you've had hip replacement or you're super tight or whatever, there's things that we can give you that every little bit incrementally you get better, you'll be able to enjoy the game better. And I'm sure if you've seen Connor out there, he's got his bands and all those things that I've learned to do in my teaching and so forth. And, you know, our job is to coach you into developing. One of my pet peeves in teaching are the people that just assume you won't do any work or that you can't get better, and they try to come up with a band-aid that's just going to get you to play a little better today. I feel like if my job as a coach is to help be there with you every step of the way, even if it takes longer than you and I would like to, but to give you the right information and give you the tools that are going to help your body move better and get the club in a better position. Connor, what you obviously teach tons of recreational golfers. What are some of the things you see that are low-hanging fruit that would help them score better?
Scoring better. I think everyone can, not everybody, but most people can benefit from hitting the driver better and further. And I think it's actually probably one of the easier things to help people do, like get the ball up in their stance, get them in balance, and then turn. You know, make them turn through, back and through the ball. But yeah, and then also I just think a lot of people, maybe they see me or Tony or somebody giving a lesson to somebody like Steven, and then they're like, oh, my body doesn't move like that. That's BS, it does. And like, you will be able to stay in balance and turn behind the ball and then turn through the ball and finish. I mean, it might take effort, like Tony said, but I think we can all benefit from, you know, being in balance more and moving our bodies better. Agreed?
Yeah, but I think the one of the real low-hanging fruit and is, like, if you were out there and you watched Steven today, is he had something down for alignment that he was hitting on. Mm-hmm. We had a rope. And he had something for ball position down. And yet today, three times, I think I walked along the range line and I saw a bunch of people practicing and I didn't see one person have an alignment aid down. And I know y'all are better than tour players. So I know you probably don't need my help. you know, my old mentor had a picture that used to be, and I think it was an Atlanta Athletic Club. Our Atlanta Country Club with Davis Lovestad. Davis Jr. was the longtime director of golf. And he had taken a picture from the top of the club of the range during the Atlanta Classic. And he took a picture from the top of the club during the Saturday of the member guest. And on the tour event, there were all these pros with aiming sticks and things down for alignment. And then you looked at the one from the member guests, and there was shit everywhere. There was stuff everywhere. There was no rhyme or reason to it. And it just shows you. And I think that the one thing, if you're looking for low-hanging fruit and you're looking for ways to improve immediately, is to just pay way more attention to the small things that really matter.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp. The secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And how many people here would say they're inconsistent in their golf? How many people think that they're just not? How many people think their good's pretty good, but they're not very consistent, right? It's like the number one thing every new student I get, I play pretty good sometimes, but I'm just really consistent. Well, it's very difficult to be consistent if your body isn't postured the same way, you aren't balanced the same way, the ball's in a different spot, and your feet are aimed a different way every time. It's very hard. I mean, the ball doesn't move. I don't know if y'all knew that, but it doesn't move, right? So if you can learn to posture yourself and you have a process, and you can learn to get the ball in the same spot and stand the same distance from it and line up the same way, that doesn't even mean you got to be perfectly square at the target. You always aim a little right or you always aim a little left. If you do it the same amount each time, you got a chance to be consistent and at least hit a shot that shapes the same way every time. And that would be my advice. And you could take very little amount of time and just pay a little more attention to what you do. So that's my advice for what it's worth. Anybody have any questions before I just keep writing? Go ahead. I knew you would have one. You talked our ear off on the putting green. It was awesome.
Most people line up to the right.
Aim to the right.
Maybe tendencies?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I would say I see more folks aim real far right than I do left. I would say that's probably pretty accurate. It's amazing to me, like my old mentor and I talk about it all the time, but he used to say nobody shows up and tries to aim wrong, right? Like you think you're aimed correctly. Like nobody goes to the course and says, shit, I'm gonna try aiming 20 yards right today. Let's see how it works out. Right? Like you think you're aimed correctly. That's why going back to my previous point of like paying attention to details is so important, because aim is perception. Like you think you're aimed correctly, right? So the more you train yourself, and it doesn't have to be like a lot. It's just like, heck, you could be as into it as you want. You could just put a dang club down when you're hitting along your feet line. You could take the time to put a couple of sticks or a rope like we use, whatever. But use something. Use something, and I think that's a key. What do you see? What about good players? What do you see with good players aiming and stuff? What do you think makes you consistent?
I think a lot has to do with eye dominance. So no matter which way if you're left eye dominant, right eye dominant, depends which way you aim and where you place the ball in your stance, where you tilt your head, that all affects the way you see things. Like I think of all your senses, your sight lies to you the most. Like so like for me, I'm a lefty, so I'd be vice versa. I aim left. But I do know a few guys that are righties that aim right, or the opposite way if they're open. But I don't know. Like I just think you can change your perception quite easily, and like in everything you do in life, like to be really good at something, you gotta have a process. And that's the thing with golf that I mean, when you're doing recreationally, you don't wanna have to go through that, but like your eyes need so much training because all they do is deceive you and affect your body. So it's just like little things in there can change the way you perceive. So, like, if you're working on something, like, just tilting your head a little bit, maybe closing one eye to look at another really can affect the way you line up and stuff like that.
Connor, how do you help people aim here at TPC?
Have you ever seen a big white string on the ground? Anybody? Well, I've seen it. I put a string on the ground, and I learned this from Tony. You get somebody's face aligned to the string, pointed at the target, and you learn to start the ball down the string. And then you do that, and you can figure out, all right, 7 out of 10 of those went to the left. Well, maybe am I aimed wrong, or is it my club face? And then you kind of work it from there. But Wayne, somebody that Tony and I spent a lot of time with, Wayne's always said you can train somebody to aim better, too. You can learn how to actually aim well. But we don't ever practice it.
Any other questions? That was a good one. Anybody? So one of the things Stephen and I were actually having a conversation today, and he brought some up that I thought was interesting. He talked about a stats guy that he had used who told him on a day that he didn't feel like he was hitting it great, or a week he wasn't hitting it great, to just aim in the middle of the greens, right? And I'm going to let you tell that story, but I think more that you can shoot lower scores by not changing your golf swing, but changing how you navigate your way around. I tell this story all the time. I did a golf school in Mexico, the only time they let me come down there and do this golf school. And we had a lady in the school who had never shot below like 110 and didn't hit very far. So like when we went on the golf course, I was basically her caddy. And she shot 44 on the 9 holes. And all I did was just like, well, you can't carry the ball over 120 yards. So it's 140 to get over that bunker. I mean, unless we get a huge gust of wind, it's probably not happening, right? So like I aimed her way over to the right where she had a 20-yard chip with no bunkers in between her, and she can chip it up there. And then she wasn't going to make worse than bogey. And we just did that all day. Now, granted, I mean, there might have been some times that she was a little frustrated. I didn't let her go with the green, right? But you can transfer that to any skill level. And, you know, I think if you're realistic when you go around the golf course and you don't try to hit shots that you probably can't hit, and you'll end up shooting better. And I thought your story today about tightening, you know, about, I mean, that was just random conversation. I thought that was great. Well, tell us about what the stats guy did.
So I guess a little background is, like, I was struggling for a few months where I felt like I was hitting really good with my scores.
That was before he started working with me.
My scores were not really, like, they were good. I was shooting a couple under every time, but I wasn't shooting any really low ones. And it's just not, that's not going to compete you and, like, have you compete in pro golf. So I started working with a guy that's controlling my stats, and we went through them, and my scrambling was not really where it needed to be. So I was putting pressure on my scrambling. And so there was the first week we started working, he was like, your scrambling's not very good, so you need to do everything you can not to chip because your chipping sucks. So,
and he's right about that.
So he goes, we'll get your chipping better, but in the meantime, you need to avoid chipping at all costs. And I was like, okay. So he's like, why don't you aim? Like, I'm aggressive, but I'm not too aggressive, I feel like. So he was like, why don't you aim two more yards towards the fat side of the green, and you're going to avoid chipping. So that's what I did it for a few weeks. And I'm like, you start changing my stats and my scrambling. Yeah, I was working my chipping, but I don't think it was that much better than it was 3 weeks ago. My scoring average went a lot lower because I was hitting greens and I wasn't making bogeys because I was hitting greens. I wasn't three putting. So just, like, it's just weird, and, like, this way the stats are, like, to shoot low rounds, you want to eliminate bogeys because bogeys, you're not going to make nine birdies in a round. You're only going to make probably average 3 to 4 if you're a pro golfer. So the best way to lower your scores is not make bogeys. So by hitting more greens, I eliminated the fact of chipping, but my scrambling percentage went up 30%. And, like, before we set some goals, I was like, I'll be lucky to get over 50% scrambling. Like, I hit a lot of greens. I don't need to chip that well. Well, just by changing my strategy, my scrambling percentage went up. So it's funny how with golf, if you can take pressure off your weaknesses, then your scoring, your stress level goes down and your scoring goes down. And I don't know, it's just kind of a crazy
thing. That's good.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Write this down. This is for you and your buddy, okay? So I'm going to tell you how to keep base. This is a super simple thing that will help you with lessons with Connor too. I had this older gentleman I used to teach at the Country Club of Mobile. He was a nut, but he wouldn't keep stats. I mean, most people aren't going to keep stats. But I heard this from a guy, and I used it. I stole it completely from a guy who used to do stats for a bunch of tour players. His name is Peter Sanders, but every time you make a double bogey or worse, or if you're a double bogey player, you make a triple or worse, whatever it is, you circle that on the card and you write down the shot that caused the double or the triple. And you do that for 5 rounds of golf. And then when you come to your lesson with Connor, you show him those 5 cards. There's always a trend, right? Especially if you're doing 10 rounds. And what I found was a lot of times, like it wasn't really a golf swing thing. Like one time in particular, I remember it was like, it was always this one hole and he always had a downhill shot with a wedge and he'd scull some bitch in the damn water every time. It's like, well, you know? So, Emil Graf is his name, I'm remembering. But anyway, we did that and his handicap went down like crazy because the golf lessons turned into not just a golf lesson about his golf swing, but also like we would always film and, you know, we'd do 15 minutes or so working on whatever we're working on. But then the other 15 or 20 minutes or whatever was about addressing whatever shots out there gave him trouble. And people in general, we all have egos involved, whether we want to admit it or not. Like we don't necessarily always like to admit things or realize the things we're not good at. But if you just take, I mean, that takes you no time because you're keeping a scorecard anyways, and you just notate the 2, the 3, the 4 holes, whatever it is. And it was very impactful for, so I started doing that with tons of my recreational players. And then when they come to the lesson, it's like, oh, well, you're just not very good at downhill lies. Or I remember one time it was like, he just really wasn't good pitching the ball, like over bunkers. And he would, you know, he'd get nervous and scull them or he'd chunk them into a bunker, whatever it was. And so, like, these are things that you can do that would dramatically help your game. So, like, if you go out there and if you do it for 5 to 10 rounds, I promise you, you'll see a trend. And it may be not something like that. It may be on holes that go to the right, you drive it terrible and you can't find the fairway. Well, Connor's job is to help you to find a way to hit a tee shot that puts it in play on that hole. Maybe it's not your driver, maybe it's your 5 or 3 or whatever it is. Like, but that's our job, right? But like, I think the point of this whole thing that I'm just totally making up on the spot is that there's a lot of ways to shoot lower scores and to help you get better that aren't fixing your pivot, fixing the club face, selling new clubs, clubbing like that. But like that doesn't always work, right? So anyways, what do you think, Connor?
Shit.
What's the question?
You're fired.
Nobody likes a wise ass.
You know, after all we've been through.